The Gospel of Jesus Christ deals, first of all, with Him. Our whole Christian faith centers in Jesus Christ. What He did, what He is now doing, and what He will do, but always with the person of Jesus Christ. We understand that the whole world knows about His coming at Bethlehem. We've just all been thinking about it over the Christmas season. And He was born, Jesus of Nazareth. True. And this same Jesus, God made Him both Lord and Christ. True. No matter how much or how little one knows about Him, or how much or one little believes in Him, the name of Jesus Christ stands out in the consciousness of all people everywhere, and who has ever heard the gospel, and we will unhesitatingly point out that so far as your faith is concerned, it traces back to Him, and it rests in Him. When we have Christian faith, it isn't so much that we have a particular view of the world. Now, we may have a certain view of the world that we get from the Bible and that we get from the gospel, but this is not primarily what makes up Christian faith. Nor do we have a particular view of man, of the nature of man. Now, we do have an idea of the nature of man as set forth in the Bible, that he was created by God in the image of God, and so on. We have these things in mind, but this is not primarily what makes up our Christian faith. Nor are we specially focusing our attention or interested in the destiny of man. Now, we do have something to say about the destiny of man. We do have something to keep in mind about how everything is going to finally wind up, as we would say, but this is not the essence of our Christian faith. Actually, we are interested in, focus our attention upon, are concerned about Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. Really, it is Jesus Christ who is the one in whom we believe. And there is a sense in which only Jesus Christ is the one in whom we believe. We remember how Peter said, "There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." And we remember how the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and reminded them that when he came into their city preaching, "I was resolved to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And when the Apostle Paul was preaching in his days, after he had become a Christian, and we read about him in the book of Acts, you will find that the report that went out about him was that he preached about one Jesus, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Now, some may say that such an approach, such idea as this, is too simple. And yet it's true. Simple as it may be, and I wish it were simple, in everybody's mind, it's just as true as it is said. Let me put it this way. Getting married is really a very simple thing. I know it has a lot of ramifications. I know there are profound consequences. I realize that. But it's a very simple thing. Boy and girl can do it. Can do it very easily. And when it's done, it's done. And it's a single event. Simple as it may be. So the matter of receiving Jesus Christ, that's not difficult. It's not hard. A child can do it. And when it's done, it's done. Now, this whole matter of what we believe when we believe that we believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to our attention now because today we are beginning, getting ready for our study of the Gospel of John. In the days to come, that's what we're going to be studying. And if you're getting ready for tomorrow and are wondering about tomorrow's message, I can tell you that tomorrow's message we're going to be looking at the first 18 verses of the first chapter of John's Gospel. Just now I am drawing attention to the fact that in all the days to come, in the various programs we will have in the coming days and weeks, we will be talking about the Gospel of John, but primarily and always our attention will be focused upon Jesus of Nazareth. This whole matter started almost 2,000 years ago. When I mention to you Jesus of Nazareth, immediately you think about the baby that was born in Bethlehem, and you possibly have in mind, as everyone does, that he lived about 33 years, that he died on the cross, Everyone may not fully remember it, but I'll just tell you that means he was crucified as a common criminal. During the time that he had his active ministry here upon earth, about 3 years, he had done many signs and wonders. In that time, he had not only claimed to be the Son of God, but he allowed himself to be said to be the Son of God, and he was finally condemned to death because he wouldn't deny it. He stood before the court of the high priest to admit that he was the Son of God, and he himself claimed to come for sinners, and had said while he was here, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Said that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Personally said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is how it all began. And this testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are going to read about in the Bible, and especially read about in the Gospel of John, will lead on into what has happened since. That was 2,000 years ago. And in this 2,000 years of time, the effect of that message has profoundly affected history. Today we have what one might describe as the massive testimony, the impressive record of what you call Christianity, all of which has come out of the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, while it has made a tremendous lot of difference, nations have been changed, cultures have been changed, and people have made big changes in the affairs of men because of the Christian gospel. Always, everywhere, what actually really happened was that individual men came to believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Always it was what happened to individual men who came to know him that supplied the basic dynamic of everything that you call Christian. By now it is true that Christianity has an impressive record that I have spoken of. You can take Christianity as a whole, and if you look at it from a purely historical point of view, you're going to have to say with other people that this is the greatest single sustained movement the world has ever seen. I can remember back in the days of my unbelief, when I was a skeptic and an agnostic, and when I had no confidence in the idea of God. It wasn't a matter of not believing in God. I didn't believe there was a God. And I certainly didn't believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. That stood by. I thought he was a wonderful man, everything I'd heard about him, but didn't think of him as being the Son of God. Well, I remember that even back in those days, when I began to wonder whether there might be something in the Christian gospel, I can recall that what first stood up and that I could not push away, that was no mere cloud in the sky but stood before me like a mighty mountain, was 2,000 years of history. The tremendous record that the Christian gospel has made, starting in a small province of an obscure country by members of a captive nation, a few Jews, in under the heel of the Roman Empire, stood out and began to declare to the whole wide world that God had sent his Son into the world to seek and to save the lost. Beginning, as I say, with these few Jews who were the subjects of a captive, you might say, captives of a foreign power, the Roman power, began there and has spread around the world, and no other movement has overcome every barrier because the Christian gospel has spread across every natural barrier. Deserts and mountains and seas have not stopped this. The Christian gospel is today preached among the Eskimos in their ice-built igloos in the north, and is preached to the natives in the heart of Africa who live in arbors under the trees. Always it's the same gospel everywhere that is preached. It's been preached to high and low. Kings have believed it and peasants have rejoiced in it. This gospel has gone everywhere, old and young, rich and poor, educated and uneducated. people who were among the most brilliant minds in the world have believed, and people who were had never been to school at all and have had no kind of intellectual sophistication, they have also believed. And everywhere, whosoever believeth in him has had the joy and the inward blessedness of belonging to God. I repeat, even in my skeptic days, even as an agnostic, I could not push away the testimony of Christianity as such that stood before me and insisted that this was a tremendously important thing that happened when Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago. And yet, from the very first, the individual experience of individual people who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ has been even more impressive, because this really is what it's all about, is that these people who believe in him actually rejoice in faith and are strengthened in believing in him. So that when we are now beginning our study, and as we're getting ready to go into the Gospel of John, and tomorrow we will go on with our study and start in the first 18 verses, we're going to be looking at this person about whom we have heard all these things. And as we look at them, we will be having in mind that this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, while we're reading in the Gospel of John, we might keep John's own words in mind, as I find them in the 20th chapter, the last two verses, verses 30 and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us as we talk about these things and think about these things to see and to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help those who listen. And if there should be anyone who does not yet know him, call that person to thyself. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.